As Jesus came up to Jerusalem, it was by a divine appointment. And it was a divine appointment that Jesus came there. It wasn't that he came just to because it was the Passover, but it was exactly at God's prescribed timing. And he came exactly on the time in which God had foretold. He was also there to observe the Passover, of course, and he would have been coming from the north, from the Galilean region, where he was ministering, and as he came up, which you would have to do no matter which side you came to Jerusalem, you have to walk up to Jerusalem, as it is on the Judean mountains, with the Temple Mount on the top of Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham would offer up his son Isaac, but God would provide a substitute. And as Jesus traveled, he was continuing his ministry through the towns along the way. And as they went through Jericho along the road, Jesus stopped by two blind men who he had compassion on and gave them sight. Even though Jesus had this divine appointment, he still took time for those who called out to him. Such humility, such as the humility of our Lord. He always has time for the lost and the forgotten of this world. Luke 5, verses 31 and 32 says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance." Jesus' focus never changed. His work is constant, though the people of his time did not understand his kingdom and the work that he came to do. Jesus never wavers from his responsibility. He continues to never waver from his work. He calls out to the lost and the forgotten, bringing salvation through this Holy Spirit at the hearing of his word. Jesus' ministry has not stopped because he has left the earth, but has continued through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and through those he calls. If you are here today, it is not by coincidence. If you hear God's calling, answer him in submission. Now, his calling is not audible, but it is of the heart, convicting us of our sin through the power of his word, the Bible. As Jesus continued on to Jerusalem, there would have been a steep incline from Jericho, which is east of Jerusalem. And he would have passed through Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And this is where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. It was where our Lord instructs two of his disciples to fetch a donkey and its colt. Turn with me to Luke 19, and starting in verse 28. Luke 19, verse 28. When he had said this, he went on again, going to Jerusalem, and it came to pass, when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks of you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, 'Why are you loosening the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.'" I'll just stop right here. There's many believe that this owner of this colt and donkey, they knew Jesus, and you would assume that they would, because if somebody just came up and started loosening a colt and trying to take it, I think they would just do a little bit more than just asking why you need this cold. I think there might have been a little bit more force involved with this, but obviously they knew the Lord, and the Lord was in that area because he already had brought Lazarus back up from the dead. He was in the area, he knew these people, and this he probably had prescribed at a certain time that he would come back for this donkey and the colt. And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought, in verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." What we call Palm Sunday is the fulfillment of prophecy written about our Lord and Savior Jesus in Zechariah. If you want to turn there to Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." I want to bring to attention the way Jesus enters Jerusalem with much rejoicing of the people. Yet, his entering would not be like any other king. It is characterized with his righteousness and his great humility, riding on a donkey, a foal of a donkey. No king would enter his city riding a donkey at their coronation. Kings of this world look to exalt themselves. They would have huge processions in which there would have been much preparation. Here, there seems as if there is no preparation, though it was predicted hundreds of years earlier, yet God prepared the way for Jesus to enter this way, for Jesus to enter the city. The way he did was lowly and with humility. Jesus is not like any other king, and his kingdom is not like any of the kingdoms of this world. I believe the disciples and all Jerusalem did not understand why Jesus was entering the city at this time. They had a perception of Jesus, much like we do of this day. We have a perception that Jesus is not tied to what the Bible says of him. They thought Jesus was going to take away their problems. They thought he was going to overthrow the Roman rule and establish his kingdom on earth. And we can see how the crowds of Jerusalem came out to rejoice at Jesus entering the city, and how quickly that changed 6 days later in the way that Jesus would exit with the crucifixion. How quickly the people changed. What happened? This was their king. Now, 6 days later, they are yelling, "Crucify him." This is an about-face change. Jesus didn't change what happened. So what happened? The people did not know Jesus' kingdom is rooted in the heart of men and women. His first coming is not to rule the earth, but is to rule in your heart. And this continues to be his ministry. It has not changed. Israel thought the Roman occupation was the problem. They didn't realize the real problem was the occupation of Satan in their own hearts. The separation they had from God, this was the real problem. This could only be corrected through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. We live in a world that is no different than the time of Jesus. People who make up who Jesus they want it to be, and they parade him around like a king, yet he has no rule in their hearts. Jesus came to rule in the hearts of men and to bring us to repentance and to a right relationship with the Father. And he has asked us to submit to his rule and to his guidance. Jesus is coming again and coming quickly, and he will not be coming as humbly and lowly riding on a donkey, but on a horse, where he will bring judgment. And he will be coming to the same mountain, over that same mountain that he came thousands of years ago, that Mount of Olives. And he will be taking back his kingdom of this earth as the true righteous king. Let us be reminded to praise our Lord and King, Jesus, who extends his mercy and grace to us this day. And let us be found submitted and faithful as faithful servants, looking to serve our true and righteous King.